Hi, I'm Steph.
And I'm Jules.
And welcome to The Babesment.
Steph is a body positive photographer.
And Jules is an intuitive eating and body image coach.
And we're passionate about empowering people to own their bodies and themselves so that they can live their biggest, boldest lives.
So join us as we celebrate the stories of incredible humans and the bodies they've lived them in.
All right. It's like Matthew McConaughey, yeah, like a Babesment style.
I'm like, is Matthew McConaughey in the Babesment? Because I did not see him here. He's not in my pandemic bubble, but I'd let him in.
He's not in my my pandemic bubble is currently the smallest it's like ever. And it's always been small.
Same.
I like see nobody. I see you and I see Haley.
Yeah, I see you.
And I see friends on walks outside. That's like literally it. Like,
I see you and I see Zach, my boyfriend, that's it.
Oh my goodness. You guys, hi. We're back.
Hello, welcome.
Wow. I mean, we're coming to you. It's now the last Monday of February, which is like bananas.
Holy
and we
come moly.
To you after two like dynamite episodes.
That's true.
I mean, Chrissy King and then Ogalagua. I mean,
seriously, such good interviews.
Total fire. I mean, we think, obviously, it's our podcast. We think they're great. We hope that you guys found them as important as we did. Because they felt like very, all of our episodes are important. But I think those two felt very important to me.
Yeah.
Just thinking about things in ways that I haven't thought about and, you know, just important.
Yeah.
Important stuff.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So we have a fun solo up for you today. Just Steph and me. And we actually asked on Instagram to get some inspiration from y'all listeners.
Yeah, we asked for some cues for us to A.
So we got some cues to A today. But before, we're going to, you know, start the pod as we usually do with solos, which is some like chit chat because, you know, sometimes you got to keep things fun and flirty.
Talk to each
you
other.
Know, fun and flirty.
So, I don't know why you always call it fun and flirty.
Because of Cody Rigsby.
Oh.
It's Cody Rigsby. Oh. Fun and flirty.
Duh.
Remember that one episode where we were like, let's keep it fun and flirty. And it got dark and heavy real fast.
Yeah, I feel like it's like
oopsie
whoopsie.
Sorry.
When we say we're going to keep it fun and flirty, we don't.
We don't. Well, I am coming to y'all. It's a Wednesday after. So this past weekend, I drove with Haley to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Never been to Harrisburg before. Harrisburg. It's about 6 hours straight east.
Yeah.
To meet Holly. So many of y'all know that Holly Toronto is my biz partner. We do our homecoming program together. The anti-diet health coach camp we offered together. We had our January program, all that good stuff that we do together. And it was beginning of January. And we were like, so we were getting ready for our new website, for homecoming and everything. And we haven't seen each other since April 2019, when we were both like finalists at the Health Coach Institute's like 10K challenge. And so we had we've had no photos. we've had the worst like iPhone, like from 2 years ago, like horrible like conference room lighting in front of like an HCI live, like just shit photos. And we're like, oh my God, like we need,
like
we were
need
in dire
photos.
Need of photos for our websites and stuff. And so, yeah, at the beginning of January, we were like, how can we like do this? And we landed on Harrisburg because Holly lives in like Hudson Valley area of New York, which is like 2 hours north of the city. She just moved.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're here in Columbus. So I'm like, well, let's just like drive, you know, and meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And of course, we were super COVID safe, like had tests and quarantined and all that good stuff to like safely. So if you drive and just like stayed at an Airbnb and we did a whole photo shoot on my iPhone, but I got the new iPhone 12. And so I'll tell you what, we were pretty psyched with how the photos turned out. Like, we made do with like what we had to do. But I say this because I drove home on Sunday and it was both like traumatizing and also like I can look back and it's like hilarious at the same time. But so Haley and I are driving back. So it's Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And we knew that there was going to be some snow on Sunday. We knew there were going to be some snow. I was like, oh, it'll be fine. Like, snow can mean, like, super light flurries. Like, it could be nothing. And then on Sunday night, Haley's parents were texting her, like, it's going to be awful. Like, oh, my God. And so we were, like, freaking the fuck out. Like, we were freaking out. I already am, like, an anxious highway driver. Like, I don't like driving on the highway. Like, if we do road trips, Alex will drive the entire, like, 12 hours to the Outer Banks, for instance. Like, I'll just be in the passenger seat. Like, I don't like highway driving. I hate trucks. Like, I just don't like it. And so I was just proud of myself, like, driving there, period. Well, then we had this, like, impending doom of a snowstorm coming. So we, like, didn't sleep a wink on Saturday night because we were just so anxious. Mm-hmm. It was, like, one of those things where, like, the alarm went off and we were just like, let's go! And, like, you would have thought we were just, like, entering into, like, our death. We were just like, all right, like, we might be sleeping in. We call my car Betty. We're like, we might be sleeping in Betty tonight. We don't know. Like, we were just kind of like, all right, like, it is what it is. So we woke up at 5:50. We're in the car by like 6:06. We're like driving out of Harrisburg, like, dear Lord, here we go. And we're about an hour into this drive home. And it wasn't bad so far. We're like, okay, it was like the tiniest flurries that like you wouldn't even know is flurrying if you didn't have like your brights on. It was like very, mm-hmm. like nothing. So like, okay, like so far, like we're an hour in, it's okay. And it was still dark at this point because it's only now almost like 7 o'clock. So it was still dark. And then it starts snowing like really bad, like real bad snow, and it's dark. And we're just like, fuck. And so we see like we're on the turnpike. And so there's like a rest stop that's like just off. You know what I mean? That has like a little like plaza or whatever. Mm-hmm. So okay, like let's get food because God forbid we're like stuck in the snow and we're hungry. Like that would be the worst thing ever to be like stuck and hungry. So we're freaking out. So we go into this rest stop. And for some reason, we're like, we gotta be fast. Like, we gotta be fast. And so I'm like, Haley, you go to the Starbucks and you get like food and drink. And I'm gonna go to the bathroom. And then we'll swap. And I'll wait for the food. And you go to the And so then like, Haley, we're like, Haley like yells. There's no one in this plaza. It's empty. It's literally empty. It's just us. You're like the one person that's the
Yeah, because you're driving in a snowstorm.
Right. So on the plus side, there's no one on the road. Like nobody. So that was good. And so Haley gets us, like, we order our food, and she's like, don't worry, I got us extra food. She got, like, a bagel. And we were like, yeah, great idea. Like, emergency bagel. Like, yeah, that's
a single emergency bagel. Single
bagel. But we were like, yep, that's great.
No, in the moment, you're like, this is exactly what we need. A single emergency bagel.
We were like, this is brilliant. Carbs, this will be great. Bagels are, like, you know.
Carbs for brain function.
For two people. But we, for some reason, we're like, that's genius. Because, like, we got, like, our actual breakfast, right? Like, I got, like, a little, like, you know, bacon, egg, and cheese, like, thing. And so did she.
Yeah.
But we, for some reason, we're also, like, yeah, brilliant. Like,
Starbucks bagels are the worst.
We didn't even eat it. We didn't end up eating it. We had this, like, emergency that's bagel.
Your emergency ration is a half
just,
a bagel
like,
each.
It's so funny because, like, that's what we did. We're like, yeah, bagel. Like, that'll do it. Like, later in the car, we were literally crying of laughter. Like, remember that time we got an emergency bagel? Like, because if we're fucking stuck on the side of a road, like a bagel will really make the difference.
This reminds me of when I lived in New York. There was an impending snow storm, like doom. And when it would snow crazy in the city, everything shuts down. Like the train stopped running, all the stuff. And I remember—
That happened this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, okay, I gotta like get stuff because it's gonna snow. And I went into like a bodega on my way home from work and I bought a bottle of vodka and Oreos.
I mean, now you're set. Now you're set.
I was like, all right, end of the world snowstorm. I panicked. I panic purchased vodka.
No, I hate vodka.
That's my alcohol of choice.
Ew, I hate it. I can't. I'm like scarred from college. Oh. But the story has a really like so we're panicking, like, fuck us. This is already terrible. We're only an hour in, like, great. But we walk out with our emergency bagel.
Right. You've got your emergency bagel. You're okay.
I know. We walk out.
Your emotional support bagel.
Literally. Like, what's so funny is that we both were like, yeah, great call.
Emotional support bagels. I'm here for it.
We walk out of this, like, rest up and the sun had come up. The snow had stopped. It was like a miracle.
Like everything changed.
Yeah, literally. In like what? Well, you're maybe in there for all of like 7 minutes. Maybe not even. Maybe 5 minutes. I don't know how. It was dark and like crazy snow. And then all of a sudden it was bright and no snow. And we were just like, what? what just happened? But like, okay, this is great. So we're like driving along and we like stop at the next restaurant just to like fill up on gas. Cause we're like, again, like we don't want, if we're sleeping in beddy tonight, like we can't, like we have to have gas. So like we like get gas. But we just kind of keep driving and like things are fine. And there's like no snow and it's like legit fine. And not only is there no snow, but then the highways are empty. So we're like, okay, like here we go. Meanwhile, though, we're still getting texts from his parents like, this storm has a name. Like, watch out. And we're like, oh,
this storm has a name.
No, literally. So we're freaking out, even though like
there's nothing happening,
but we're just like waiting. We're just waiting. Ugh. And so our anxiety was like, so fucking
skyrocketing.
But like we just, and we're like, okay, we just like, but I was somehow so zen about it. Like I was zen, but like, it was almost like though I was trying to put on the brave face.
Yeah.
And Kaylee kept being like, well, Alex wasn't nervous. Like he was super calm. Like it's fine. And we, the only thing we ever hit the entire drive home was a little light drizzle, like the lightest drizzle. Like not even it was nothing. Like right outside Columbus.
Do you know why you had that zen? Because you had an emotional support bagel.
I had an emotional support bagel. It was like, but you looked at the forecast and we were like, how the fuck did we?
That's a freaking miracle.
No, it like really is. Cause like.
Cause it was snowing a lot.
The radar had like straight snow over where we were the entire day.
Yeah.
I still am like. I can't explain.
It was like
what
a
happened.
Perfect freeway-sized break in the clouds or something.
And it just like followed us. I still don't understand. I'll never. It's like both hilarious and I'm so. We kept saying like we're grateful and confused because we're like we're super grateful, but we're so fucking confused. So we were grateful and confused, and then we get home and Alex was like, "Oh, I was so worried about you guys." And I was like, "You were?" He's like, "Well, yeah. Like it looked so bad, and I was so worried, but like." He's like, I knew that you're safe and you're not a risk taker and like yeah. You had to drive home. So I didn't want to worry you. And we were like, thank God. Like, yeah. Thank God. Because if Alex had been like, oh no, I'm really worried. Our anxiety would have been like even.
It's a great lesson in what energy you bring to a person what? Dealing with a difficult driving situation. Because I have had that happen to me.
We had to drive home. We had no choice.
Yeah, like, there's no choice. You have to drive home.
And Monday was worse than Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, we had way more snow, at least in Columbus. Like,
yeah,
so
that's true.
We're happy that we were home.
Man.
It was, and then I just felt like I was so exhausted. I mean, driving, like a road trip period when you're driving is like exhausting.
It's very tiring.
But add in the emotional trauma of like Saturday night into the entire drive and we were like wiped. But then we binge watched. Oh my God, you have to watch it. You would love it.
What is it?
It's Fate, the Winx Saga.
Oh, I watched the trailer for it and they're all fairies and they got powers and stuff.
We binged the entire show on Sunday.
Damn.
Like, Alex and I, like, we don't always like the same show. So yeah. we get pumped when we find shows that we like, both,
that
like.
Both like.
We work hard to like find shows that we both enjoy. And he was as into it as I was. I mean, we were like totally hooked. We couldn't stop watching it. It was excellent. Like, I'm sad that it's over. I might watch it again. Like, it was so good. Everyone needs to go watch it. It's like Harry Potter-esque.
Oh, well, you know that's my...
Right, and you love Harry. So, like, if you like Harry Potter, like, you'll
right
like
in.
It. But it's different, right? But it's, like, it's similar but different. It's, like, you know, totally fantasy world.
But it's, like, a school, right?
It's a school. Mm. Yeah. It was just complex characters. Like, you're not really sure, like, who's good, who's bad. Like...
Yeah.
It was really good.
We love a magical education-centered storyline.
Yes. It's just, like, fun. It's fun to, like, get transported into, like, this whole different world.
I've been watching... Teenage Bounty Hunters.
What? Oh, I see. I think I can't do violence very well.
It's not violent.
Okay. Well,
it's
like,
funny.
The commercials look violent. Alex has wanted to watch that. So
it's funny.
Maybe we'll have to do it.
I think it's funny. It's very much like a teenage girl show. But then they also like mistakenly become bounty hunters. And then they're like, yeah, we're just fucking bounty hunters. And they work with this guy who's like a legit like grizzly old bounty hunter. And
grizzly
old? Grizzly old bounty hunter.
I was like, is grizzly old the thing that I just don't know about? I like
no, that's not a word.
A grizzly old.
A grizzly
Got
old
it.
Bounty hunter.
I was like, I mean, I don't know the world of bounty hunters. Maybe grizzly old is like a type of bounty hunter. I don't know.
Maybe it is. I don't know. but I've been watching that and it's pretty funny. So last weekend I went over to my parents' house. I hadn't been over in a while, but I went over and my parents had installed new security cameras.
Oh.
Because there was one of the cars on the street, the tires got slashed. Yeah, super fucking random. There's like no
Upper Arlington.
Upper Arlington.
Down.
It's becoming a shady neighborhood, apparently. All those very, very rich people. Anyway, but like that happened. And so my dad was like, I gotta install these security cameras. I gotta up the security. And like my dad has like lights, motion sensors, like all this shit in the backyard for years. And now is the time he's got to install the cameras. He gets one of the apps on his phone. And he's like super hyped. and he's like showing me all the pictures of how they can see me walking up the driveway. But then I come over and I'm like, I text my mom. I'm like, okay, we're on our way over, Zach and I. And she's like, okay, listen at the gate when you get here. And
listen,
I
was just, at the gate?
Listen at the gate. Listen, and I was like, and Zach was here. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, what does she mean, listen at the gate? And I was like, okay, so this is my mom. I was like, it means something very specific, but she's not going to explain it. And I was like, maybe there's like something making weird noise. Like maybe
so,
like.
Listen at the gate. Okay, continue.
So we get there. We're like sitting in the car. Like, what could this mean? And I text my mom back like, what? And she doesn't answer. And so then we get out of the car. We stop at the gate and we hear, Steffi! Oh. Steffi! Zach, hello!
Up.
And it's coming Shut from up. The fucking security camera.
Oh my God.
And it's my mom and she's dying, just laughing to herself like, hello! I'm here! I have
images of like, movies where it's like some like super like rich house in like Hollywood with a gate at the entrance and like you know what
it's
I mean?
Not like that.
I know, it's but that's the image I have in my head is like rolling up and like this.
Except for it is a gate at the end of my parents' driveway to keep the dog in the yard, and it is a freaking security camera that my dad has like screwed into a tree trunk.
Oh my God.
At the end of the driveway. And I just was dying laughing. My mom is like, I love this. Like over the freaking speaker. I'm just like, this is too much power for my parents to have. Like I don't think that they can handle that kind of ability to watch and talk to the people walking by on the street.
It sounds like your parents need an emotional support bagel.
I think they need an emotional support bagel. I think everybody does.
Oh, never forget my emotional support bagel.
That's hilarious.
So let's get into the app. Now we had fun story time. So a lot of what came up when we asked for like, hey guys, like what do you want to hear about?
Mm-hmm.
Was a lot of it was tied to like, how do I... You know, how do I navigate all of this, you know, kind of like anti-diet, intuitive eating, like body image healing? How do I really deal with this stuff with friends? And so, for instance, there was a question that said, hey, I had a triggering moment with a friend. I tried to educate and was met with backlash. And the same person asks, you know, just said like eating disorder awareness for friends. And a separate person asked, what are the best responses for coworkers who always talk about diets and weight loss? And I think I'm so happy that this was brought up. We've talked about it before in the pod, and it's always good to talk about again in a different light. And I think to start off, when you, okay, you all are our listeners, and that means that like you have made your way into like the intuitive eating, anti-diet, body acceptance, body image healing like world, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, hello, you've arrived.
Like, welcome.
Welcome. You're here. And when you're in this space and you're listening to podcasts like ours, chances are you're also following us on Instagram and other people on Instagram who have similar messages and like maybe you've even read books like Anti-Diet. Highly recommend reading More Than a Body by Lindsay and Lexi Kite, who we're having on the podcast.
Hey, wah.
Right. So likely you've kind of, you're in this world. And you're like used to this message. And when we're in this world, and I'm sure you all can relate to the idea of like the veil being lifted. It's like once you see diet culture and you like fully see like, oh, like what disorder eating is and what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And you like recognize it. You can't unsee it. Like we say that a lot, right? It's like it's like, oh my God. Like once you see it, you can't unsee it. And you're like, whoa, like this is fucking crazy. Right. And this is like, so and you can see how harmful it is. Like you start to like really be like, oh damn. Right. Like this is all happening around me. And I think sometimes when that's our world and that's our space, like it's obviously very much your and my space. Right. Like I have created this wonderful bubble around me.
I'm very curated. Oh, yeah,
and forget that people still like make comments on weight and things like that. But we forget. I think sometimes we can forget that. Look at Steph just like put up her hood and you look like a fucking Jedi.
Do I look like a Jedi?
You look like a Jedi.
I pulled my hood up over my headphones.
I was like, whoa, it's a serious mood.
Sometimes I,
it's
you
a
know,
serious, she's like, it's getting
I'm going to tell
real.
You,
it's
when I real. When I edit or when I really get into something, I'll like pull my hoodie hood up. Like, it's just like, I'm like,
here for it.
I'm settling in to really have this conversation.
And yeah, yeah.
And take it seriously.
So like, so we can just forget though how, what life is like before, you know?
Yeah.
When we're so thick in diet culture that we don't even know what diet culture is.
It's easy to,
because like that's legit. Like we don't even know what it is.
Well, and I think that once you start sort of down this road, down this path of unlearning, it can be easy to forget just how deeply entrenched we were and how normalized diet culture is for everybody.
Absolutely. It's the, I mean, we say this all the time, but it's true. It's the air that we breathe.
Absolutely.
It is everywhere all around us. And it's hard to escape, which is honestly why I'm like, damn, I've created a really good bubble because like it's hard to escape.
It's so true because things will happen and people will be like, what do you think about this? And I'll be like, I didn't even see
it. I know. Whenever there's some like celebrity, like Adele.
Yeah, or, that's what like, I was thinking of. I only see the reactions.
Right. People send it to me and I'm like, oh, I didn't even see that because like my bubble must be so thick.
I have really truly curated my online experience to be exactly what I want because my party, my rules. And I highly recommend doing that in general.
Highly recommend it. Absolutely. But so I say this because I think it's important that we all come back to like having so much compassion for everyone who is still just like thick in the waters of diet culture. And it can be really hard, especially if you're like working so hard on this and you so deeply are like, no, like this stuff is harmful. Like that's disordered. And it's hard because you see it and you're like, oh my God, hello, right? Like wake up. But like when we're so thick in diet culture, it's not that obvious.
Well, and if, to quote my dad.
To quote Mr. Strab.
Yeah, you can, doctor.
I was gonna say, wait, he's a doctor. He's a PhD.
He's a doctor lawyer.
In cinematography. Wait, so it's an Esquire, right?
Is it Esquire?
Isn't like a...
I think it's Dr. Strab, attorney at law, is like what his business card says. I don't know.
Who uses the word Esquire? If you know, DM us.
Let us know because we're not going to Google it.
too lazy. Do you want to know what I Googled on my home from Harrisburg?
What?
At first I was like, Haley, do you think that the 76ers are called the 76ers because of the highway? And I was like, no. It's probably something from like 1776. Let me Google it. And it was. It was from happening in 1776. But for a minute, I was like, if they're named after a highway. No, they're not.
They named their football after a highway?
It's basketball.
Oh. Sure.
Philadelphia Eagles stuff. Come on.
All right.
That's the least surprising thing about your character I've ever witnessed. I was like, of course, she wouldn't know that. Like, that's the least surprising shit ever.
I don't care at all. I know some Ohio sports names of teams, and that's it, because I live here.
I'm dying. I am definitely, it's basketball. That's cute. The first ever NBA team, I believe.
See, you almost said NFL. I'm not that far
off.
Well,
I like NFL better than NBA. Anyway.
My dad would say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And I think that is something that does apply to many things in life, but also to, you know, once you have seen it, you can't unsee it, right? You see diet culture everywhere. You start acknowledging how normalized it's become. But for somebody who hasn't had that, like you said, that veil lifted, you don't see it around you, right? Like you don't acknowledge the things that are harmful.
Right.
And if you are a person who's on the path, you can't force somebody to join you there.
You can't.
You can't.
Right.
You have to meet people where they are.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And it's a difficult balance because you have to protect yourself and your own mental energy. Like we talked about, like curating your space and understanding that like if somebody is sharing things that trigger you or make you feel bad, you don't have to follow them. But mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. acknowledging that like, some people are not going to be ready to have these conversations when you're ready to have them.
Absolutely. And it's especially thinking that like not only, you know, are most people still in diet culture and don't even realize it because that's the air that it's the air that we breathe, but also that diet culture is so incredibly reinforced. Mm-hmm. Especially by like doctors, for instance, our medical community, even like public health. Like it is so it's so thick everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reinforced everywhere from people that we trust, like health experts that we trust, you know, will reinforce this idea that like, you know, we have to lose weight to be healthy and that health looks a certain way. And fitness instructors will reinforce it. Never miss a Monday and like all these things. And what it ends up being is that we have a really skewed idea of what health is.
Yeah.
But it makes it really fucking hard though when like our entire life, and I mean, I grew up, my dad's a doctor, like my whole like childhood, I was just surrounded by doctors.
Mm-hmm.
My pediatrician is like a very close family friend. She's like fucking awesome. I love her. Hey, Pam. She doesn't listen to this podcast, but hey.
Just in case.
Hi, Pam. You rock. She was such a good doctor. But like, so I really get that because like that was all around me. And I worked in public health. Like, so yeah. I really get where it's all around us, this reinforcement of like the obesity epidemic. I hate even saying that because like there's so much wrong with that. But it's everywhere. And so it's also just like, this is a system of oppression.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a, you know, $70+ billion industry, as Chrissy King taught us, you know, upholding the thin ideal is upholding white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
We trace the roots of fat phobia back to the origins where we see that like having a thin body was tied to being white and it became another differentiator between what made white people better. Ugh, I hate even saying it, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And so it is a system of oppression, like plain and simple, that's what diet culture is. And yet it's just so normalized. We don't see it
mm-hmm.
until we have some experience that leads us into a space like this where we begin to step back and be like, oh, but otherwise it's just like, we have to realize that like we're all a part of the system and it's so thick. Like the air is not just air. It's like thick air. It's like fog. It's like, oh, like we're in it. And so we have to, and this is where I always come back to everything, including like beauty ideals, including things like Botox, including things like cosmetic procedures. It's like, we don't want to have like judgment for the people who get those things. We don't want to have judgment for people who are on the diets and are posting about weight loss. And it's not, that's just not helpful, right? We need to instead be like mad at the system.
Right.
Let's be mad at the systems that make us believe we have to do these things. Instead of being mad at the people for doing it, right? Because we're all just functioning under this system that's telling us, hey, in order to be healthy and loved and beautiful, therefore valuable as a woman,
mm-hmm.
you need to look this way, be this weight, do these things. Like, I can't fault any person for wanting to be loved and belong and gain access to the world. And I can't fault anybody for wanting to be healthy and just not realizing that the way that we're pursuing health and the way that we've been taught to pursue health is completely backwards. I can't blame them for that. Yeah. We have to take it back to the system. I blame the system. And it's not an accident. It's a $70 billion industry.
Well, and I think it's important to remember also that everybody's lived experience in diet culture is going to be very different based on the body that they do live in.
Yes.
Because the reality is that, you know, somebody who lives in a smaller body is going to experience, there is damage to everybody in every body mm-hmm. from diet culture, but it is much more apparent to you when you live your life in a fat body, when you live yes. your life in a larger body, and you experience this system of oppression in a very different way.
Yeah.
In a much more
tangible, like yeah.
day-to-day way yeah. than the more like insidious underlying ways that diet culture really sinks its hooks into a person living in a smaller body. And that's not to say that either experience is more or less valuable or more difficult than the other, because everybody's experience is valid. But it's also important when you're considering the conversation that you want to have with a friend when you have started unlearning this, is that your unlearning may be very different than that person's unlearning based on their own lived experience.
Yes.
And how apparent the oppression is for that person, how real it is for that person. You know, when you yeah. are going through the world, and you know, here in America, I know it's very much a problem in the UK and many other European countries, but everywhere, you know, you go somewhere and you don't fit in a seat. Like I go, I mean, not now because of the pandemic, but before, even going to like a hockey game or a concert, like I did not comfortably fit in a seat. And I live in an average sized American woman's body.
Yeah.
There are people who live in larger bodies.
It would be tight on
me.
My hips. And like, I'm even smaller. Like,
exactly.
I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that's just like, who does this even fit? It's like,
it's so true. You know, I have the experience of walking into a store and being told that nothing there would fit me.
Yeah.
And my experiences are minimal compared to
like very real experience of fat phobia.
Of fat phobia yeah. and oppression.
Yeah. yeah.
It's a system of oppression. It yes. is meant to keep these people down, to keep me down, to keep yeah. all of us down.
Yeah.
And it is important to acknowledge that our experiences in the air that we're all breathing is very different. And so when you're thinking about, you know, like I said, like when you're thinking about coming to a person who is living in it still, mm-hmm. you have to acknowledge that the way they're living in it yeah. may be different than the way you're living in it. And so yeah. coming to the understanding
yeah.
is different for all of us.
There is so much nuance and complexity because we've all had, right, different lived experiences in different bodies that have different experiences in this world.
Yeah.
And we all have the desire to lose weight.
Right.
And that desire makes even more sense when you are in a bigger body because of fat phobia, because of, you know, the real ways that you're not treated fairly when you're in a bigger body by our society, by the things that you're saying. Like, I don't blame someone for being like, man, I just want to fit in this baseball seat. Like, I just want to, like, be able to go to a restaurant and not worry about, like, you know, maneuvering around tables. Like, I want to...
These quiet judgments
yeah,
that
right.
the world is built
I
want to
go on a roller coaster and not have to worry. Like, I don't blame people for being like, I want to be smaller. Like, that is, like, it sucks that, like, the world is only made for, like, smaller bodies. It's like if the world's only made for people who are, like, 5'2".
Yeah.
It's the same thing, literally.
It's exactly
like,
the same thing.
We know in the research that our body weight, our weight set point ranges, which, by the way, I'm doing a special masterclass, guys. I'll let you in on it first here in March. And I go like heavily into this. So if you want more on this, check out that free masterclass. It's my Intuitive Body Blueprint crash course. But we know from the research that our weight set ranges are as genetic as our heights. Like,
yeah.
like I think, I want to say Chrissy Harrison, author of Anti-Diet Guys, she found in her research that some 70% of differences in weight from person to person can be linked to genetics.
Yeah.
And so it's, and we see like our bodies don't want to go below our natural set point ranges, and they will fight back to get us back into our set point or higher to protect us. And so it's like, I understand completely the want to be smaller, and mm-hmm. I also know that the quest to get smaller is an impossible one.
Yeah,
that only actually harms our health and well-being even more.
Absolutely.
And so there's so much to this work, and that's why like I do my coaching
mm-hmm.
because to think about like just listening to a podcast or like reading books to do your healing, I mean it's possible, but it's really fucking hard. And like, it's really hard.
Healing is something that you don't have to do by yourself.
Oh my God. Say it again.
Healing is something that you do not have to do by yourself.
Yes. And I mean, speaking of, you guys, like, just FYI, and it's only until March 3rd is your last day to get a discovery call in. But if you do want support, Holly and my homecoming program, it's our intimate small group coaching container. We only offer it once a year. This is the most in-depth, high-touch way to work with us. It's the only way to even access private coaching with me. And so the doors are actually currently open. We have a few more seats left. This ep airs Feb 22nd again, and you only have till March 3rd. So that's only like a week away.
Yeah.
To get your discovery call in. But really this is a great way, right? If you're like, damn, I really want to heal my relationship with my body. I really want to like come back into my body, because really this work is a very comprehensive like body image healing program. We start with intuitive eating. We go into body image resilience. And it's resilience because, hey, even when we've healed, we're still navigating diet culture. And so we have to have the tools to know how to navigate when we have triggers and hard moments. And so we give that all to you. We do a whole pillar on embodiment, which is all about like really living as embodied people instead of as objects, which is like, oh, amazing. And it helps us access our intuition and like our emotions and all of that good stuff. And then we end with our homecoming pillar, which is all about like, all right, now that you've freed up all this brain space, all this energy from all the dieting and body image struggles, because when you free up that space, every single client of mine has been like, holy shit.
The things you can accomplish.
Literally.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah.
It is.
And it's like, who do you want to be?
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what we get to dive into in that last pillar. And we go into like manifestation and then like, what's your dream life and what are your values? And like, who are you? Like, who is this you when you're totally freed up from all the body drama? And when you're freed up from, when you're no longer reducing yourself to an object.
Yeah.
When you're living as an embodied human being who knows her worth.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. And so, yeah, guys, like if you're hearing this episode and you're like, yeah, I really need help with all of this, please, like, let's chat. All the details for homecoming are on the website, which is linked in our show notes. It's in my Instagram bio. So you can see all that information there. It's an 8-month-long program. It starts on March 8th. So doors are not open for very long, and they won't open again until next year.
Yeah.
So it's like,
so hop on it now.
Hop on now, my friends. We're so excited. It's a really special program. It's our favorite thing ever. So we can't wait to begin with this new cohort of women. But yeah, so back to what we were saying, like it's a complex thing. And so I think when we are talking to friends about it, we have to just like remember that it's hard.
Yeah.
And like, you know, so compassion for our friends. And again, let's always place our anger at the system and never at the people in the system.
Absolutely.
And also, again, nuance and complexity, two favorite words. I get that it's frustrating for you.
Yeah.
I totally get that it can be frustrating. You're like, do you not hear me? Like, it can be so hard. And so just know that like when you are frustrated and you're like, man, I'm trying to have these conversations, it's you're not saying things wrong. It's just that like diet culture is so thick. And if people aren't ready for it, they're just not ready for it. And so like maybe like what are the ways that you can like lovingly plant seeds? Mm-hmm. Or like what are the ways that you can just set boundaries for yourself to protect your own journey?
Yeah.
You know, because we can't force this work on people. And I've seen people try to force it on people. And it just doesn't work.
Like it doesn't.
You can't.
I think that, you know, while we cannot force the people in our lives to meet us on the path, what we are allowed to do and what we are capable of doing, even though it's difficult, is we're allowed to set boundaries, which is how we teach people how to treat us. Mm-hmm. So in setting those boundaries can be like to your coworkers, to your friends, to your family, like saying, hey, I am not I'm not participating in conversations like this anymore. Yeah. Or like, hey, I'm trying really hard not to say mean things to myself about my body. So I would appreciate it if you would like, try not to say mean things to yourself about your body in front of me. That's a conversation that I had with people in my life when I very first started doing this work.
Yeah.
And those are things that you are very much allowed to do that don't make, you know, you're not asking the person in your life to look at their own relationship with their body. Yeah. You are just asking them to respect the work that you're doing with your relationship with your body.
Yeah.
And it's can be very difficult because especially as women, we are taught to relate to each other in this way, to have these kind of negative connections with each other where we just sort of like bash ourselves to bond.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work well, but we've been trained to do it. Mm-hmm. And so it can be very difficult to like break that cycle. But honestly, I have found in my experience that the best way to encourage the people in my life to, you know, examine their own relationship with their body is just by leading by example, just by, you know, holding space for myself and being like, this is the way that I talk to myself. This is the way that I expect people to talk to me. And this is how I expect people not to talk to me. And being kind about that, but also being very firm about it.
Yeah. I think especially in terms of what one of the questions was, it was, you know, eating disorder awareness for friends. And hey, I had a tricky moment with a friend and tried to educate and was met with backlash. Like, I think especially like, you know, anyone deserves to set boundaries. And I think especially if you're experiencing an eating disorder, like invite, I think the best thing you can do in that situation is like, I any good friend, if you ask me, would want to support you.
Yeah.
You know, and would never mean to hurt you, right? And I think there's just so much that's not known about eating disorders. And so people just don't even realize when they say a triggering thing, you know, or when they say like a thing that can hurt you. And again, if this is like a good friend, then I think that's a really great opportunity to be like, hey, like I know like you didn't mean to, you know, but kind of invite them into what your experience is like, just from your own perspective. Hey, this is what I'm going through. This is what it's felt like for me. And when I hear comments like A, B, and C, it impacts me. And just trying to educate them in a very gentle way of just like explaining our experience. Yeah. And I think a really key thing here with like, you know, talking about eating disorders and or disordered eating and these struggles in our bodies is it's this conversation of like so much of disordered eating and even eating disorders has been so normalized.
Yeah.
Like so fucking normalized. It's like bananas. Like when I look back, I did an email to my list a couple weeks ago and it was all about like how skewed my definition of health used to be. Mm-hmm. And I can look back at what I thought health was and I'm like, oh my God, it's so disordered. It was like, eat this, never eat that. Exercise harder, faster, stronger all the time. Like never miss a Monday. Like push, you know, it was just like rigid and had no wiggle room. It was all or nothing. It's like, oh my God, that is really disordered.
Yeah.
And yet that's what most like gyms preach and trainers and doctors. It's like, it is all or nothing. It is like, oh, only eat these things and never eat these things, or like moderation. But like, if God forbid you have too much, then like you're bad. And, you know, exercise all the time and it has to be rigorous and blah, 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 blah. All these rules.
And like remaking everything to be like every baked good things that don't belong in like, baked goods.
Y'all.
Like, I don't need to not have sugar in a cookie. That's not...
If I'm going to eat a cookie, I want to eat an actual cookie and then be satisfied and then end the story.
But it's this thing that's just like it co-opts everything. And the idea of health is that you never let a quote unquote bad food into your body. Yeah. And you like that it's all or nothing is very much the idea.
Absolutely. I mean, I can remember being in like, I don't know if it was middle school or high school, but I distinctly remember being like, I want to be the girl who everyone knows like she doesn't eat cake.
Ugh.
Like, I literally had that thought of like, and I thought that from a place of like, oh, because she's so healthy.
Yeah. It's like a pedestal idea.
Unless cake is like makes you allergic, and you know, and you actually have like a physical reaction where you like, you know, a life without cake is sad. Actually, I don't even like cake that much, but like,
I love cake.
You get the picture. Like a life without any food that you enjoy is just like, what a sad life, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what? And of course, allergies are allergies, and you know, that's legit. And
that's a very different thing.
A very different thing than what we're talking about right now. But it's just, it's so disordered. And so I love to also reframe like what it means, like what health actually means, you know? And I think that can be a really helpful. And I think oftentimes too, we think, oh, if I'm like giving up dieting, if I'm, you know, doing these things, like what about my health?
Yeah.
When actually, and again, more on this in my masterclass. So like if you want to hear more on this, like go just take it. But the research shows us that like dieting actually physically harms our health. Yeah. I mean, blood pressure, cholesterol, like depression, all these things like dieting.
The stress.
This absolutely negatively impacts our mental, physical, and emotional well-being across the board.
Yeah.
Across the board. And we see in the research that like intuitive eating and this work greatly improves our health, including things like blood pressure, cholesterol, right? Our self-esteem, our mental and emotional health. Like it helps. It absolutely does. And the thing that we want to think about, and the way that I love to like reframe health, and maybe this is a conversation that you can have with your friends, is like, to me, what health, and I think anyone can step back and be like, okay, yeah, extremes of anything are never good,
mm-hmm.
right? Like extremes of anything are never good.
Yeah.
If you're extremely, you know, obsessed with health, that's not helpful. That was me. It took away from my life. I was totally obsessed with exercise. I would prioritize exercise over friends or like life events or school. Like, that's not healthy. That takes me away from my life. I got injured. I had an eating disorder, right? Like, that's not healthy.
Right.
And yet, how I lived was absolutely praised.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, no, that is healthy. It wasn't. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, if we are never, ever like listening to our bodies and we're never, ever, ever moving, then like, okay, yeah, like that's also going to, you know, impact your well-being. Like you won't be able to navigate life as easy if like you don't have mobility or, you know, the strength to like walk around, like pick up your niece or nephew or like whatever. Like, okay, like that can also negatively impact you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about health, I think about health to me is all about being able to show up and live my life as fully as possible,
right?
Like, isn't that like why we all want to be healthy, to like live a good life?
I want to be healthy so that I don't die first in the Hunger Games. Like, I know I'm not going to win. And this is like whenever anybody's like if you have fitness goals, I'm like, I want to be strong enough that I know I'm not going to win. I know I'm not going to make it, but I don't want to die first.
I don't want to die first.
I want to make it to day two.
Oh my God.
That's my health goal.
I want to make it to day first. Well, and two, it's like, okay, so let's just wrap this part and then we'll go into the next piece on this conversation. But like, mm-hmm. yeah, so being healthy is like, okay, I want to show up and live my life as present and fully as possible.
Right.
And so that means, yeah, I'm going to like move my body to like support my physical, mental, emotional well-being so I can do those things. I'm going to eat in a way that feels good. It also means like enjoying the holidays and enjoying, you know, enjoying pizza night on Fridays and enjoying getting that ice cream cone with my friends on a hot summer day. It means mm-hmm. like enjoying rest and like laying by the pool, or it means enjoying like a nice hike. Like it means all of those things.
It means living.
It means living. And so if what we're doing to pursue our health is taking away from us being able to show up and live our lives, that's when we know it's disordered and it's not actually healthy.
Yeah, because I mean, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, is that what we want from a smaller body is not actually the smaller body. It's the life that we believe comes along with the smaller body, right?
Yeah.
It's the access. We believe it will open up the world to us. But in trying to gain that smaller body, you're actually very much making your world smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You're making your life so much smaller. You're applying rules that you don't need to follow.
Yeah.
And you're seeking something that you will never really achieve, because I think many of us know if we had passive disordered eating that even if you reach that supposed mountaintop and you get to the weight.
I did too.
You get to the weight that you think is going to make you happy and going to open your life up. It's never enough.
It's never enough.
It's never enough.
I was the most miserable.
And that just goes to prove that what you're seeking is not the smaller body, and a smaller body is not the answer to opening up your life.
Yep.
It's just not. You have to open those doors for yourself, and they don't get opened based on the size of jeans that you wear.
And it's a both and, to go back to our conversation from earlier. And that's again where this work is so nuanced and complex because of the fat phobic world that we live in.
Right.
There's an asterisk to what we're saying.
Yeah.
Because life is easier in a smaller body. But and so like this work is twofold. It's like, okay, we live in a system that does favor and make life easier for smaller bodies. And that fucking sucks. So it's like, how do we change the system?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, one of the reasons why we do this podcast is so that we can get this message out to more people, right? And have a bigger change. That's why I have like my masterclass, my programs, to like try and make a bigger change. And it's also like, we don't want to be disempowered. Like I don't want anyone to feel like, well, I live in this system and therefore like there's nothing I can do. It sucks. Like I just have to like shrink. Because like, again, it's impossible to shrink ourselves in any healthy way. And so it's like, all right, let's also empower. Because there is so much that we can do for ourselves with the right support and help to empower us no matter what body size that you have.
And I think it's very important to understand that the doing this work is both pieces at the same time.
It is healing yourself.
It's so personal. It is on your own life level of healing your own self. And at the same time, understanding that healing is a piece of a much larger system that needs to be healed.
Yep.
And being able to see the big and the small at the same time. But like it's not even small. Like the big picture of you healing yourself for your own life. Like this is something that I think about with my own work, right? Like I do goddess sessions. I do this photography to help heal other women, other people. But at the same time, the reason that it exists and what I continue to do is because I used it to heal myself.
Yeah.
Is because I saw the value in having this experience because I gave it to myself. Mm-hmm. And I was able to feel the like impact of seeing my own like raw truth, seeing my body, being able to be comfortable and at peace with seeing my body for what she is and who she is. And so I still take self-portraits. That's still such a big piece of my own healing. And I also then use that healing of myself to try to help others heal too, because I can see that it's something that everybody needs and it's a much bigger level. And also the more that we can see a vast variety of the reality of bodies, the more we can understand that what we have been raised to believe is the truth is not true.
And that's what I think is so powerful about your work. So much of our struggle comes from the fact that we've only seen these photoshopped, manipulated, very thin bodies across all media, especially our generation, because like we grew up before social. And so like literally everything was gate kept by
magazines.
Magazines and the movies and TV.
But you really still do see it on social media now.
Because influencers will use
Facetune.
Photoshop. I can't even believe that like those apps exist.
And it's
I'm
so,
like, oh my God, it's so scary.
And they're showing studies now that younger and younger girls and kids in general want like, you know, nose jobs cosmetic surgery, and they think that there are things wrong with them. And we know how damaging it was for us when it was in magazines.
Yeah.
And also because when we were growing up, it was the very early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
The thin ideal was raging.
It was like the very like waif thin.
It was the super low cut jeans and the you could see all your bones.
Yeah.
Like that was what everybody saw as beautiful.
Yeah.
And some people naturally look like that.
Yeah, totally.
But not everybody does. And all of us were told that we should be able to achieve that. You know, it was that like everybody should be able to see your hip bones.
Like, let's just put a little like note in here. Like we've all been so programmed to think that like the right body is thin and has like very little fat.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
It's not true.
Like there's not a skinny person hiding inside of all that. There's not.
You can also—
our bodies aren't wrong for having fat. Like many bodies are just meant to have a lot more fat than others. It's just—
And you can also look at, you know, the body ideal, while it has always heavily favored a white, thin body. The white or the thin ideal has also shifted in ways, the same way that fashion trends shift, the same way that anything else is very cyclical. You can look back to Renaissance paintings when it, you know, it was seen as a sign of wealth and opulence to have more fat on your body and health to have more fat on your body because you could eat. You know, you see the difference between the like the 50s when you wanted the tiny waist, but you wanted hips and you wanted curves and all these things, but it had to be very specifically settled on your body that is, again, not attainable for everybody. And then you go into the 90s and the early 2000s when it was that extreme thin, what is it called? Like heroin chic was like the term of it. Where you were so thin that you look like maybe you had a drug problem, which again, like red flag city. But you know, and then
that's when you know it's not actually about health. It's just about like
it's not. And then we come into even now, you know, 20 years later, and it's more of that like the Instagram girl Kardashian thing again, where it's coming into the hips and the boobs and the waist that's tiny, all of these things. And so you can see that the thin ideal is not real because the thin ideal shifts in cycles along with fucking fashion trends, right? And like we don't think. Yep. Like
they're all just beliefs.
It's all just a societal belief system that you can choose whether oppression. You believe in or not.
Yep.
Like, like I don't believe that just because kids on TikTok now say that I'm old for having a side part that I need to part my hair down the middle. Like that's
a whole thing.
It's a whole thing where now all the like the youths on TikTok are saying that they can tell we're old because we have side parts in our hair. And I'm like, some of us have cowlicks and also spent a really long time training our
and
hair
also,
to do this.
Why is being old bad?
And also, yeah, of course I'm your elder. Respect me.
Yeah.
But regardless
being older
of that,
is awesome.
But it's the same thing where it's like, I'm not gonna believe that just because some arbitrary person says that's the truth.
Right.
So why would I believe something that somebody's gonna tell me about my body? It's arbitrary. It's something that some person gets to believe. I get to choose what I buy into.
Absolutely. And that's the work. And I'm not saying it's easy, y'all. Like it takes some like deep psychological like reprogramming and like, which is the work that we do in coaching, you know, and that's the beautiful thing when we're able to like really untangle all this stuff in our brains, we're able to then curate a belief system that actually aligns with our values, which is like huge, huge, huge. But to bring this back, you know, and we got a lot of great questions and we'll just kind of keep them for future episodes. So if you know like, hey, I submitted a question, don't worry. Like we've got them and we're going to come back to them. We got really, really, really great stuff for you guys. And so I just think like when it comes to friends, because that was again, three of the questions were about friends. I think when it comes to friends, we just have to tread lightly. Go about it not as if you're trying to force anything on them. Just be gentle. Just explain your experience. I mean, a good friend would want to hear your experience. Mm-hmm. Remember that the diet culture impacts all of us. We've all experienced it. And to have compassion for like where they're at.
Yeah.
To, you know, place the boundaries that you need. Especially if you're dealing with like a disordered eating or an eating disorder or body dysmorphia or any sort of like you know, challenge like that, like put the boundaries in place that you need to like protect your recovery and healing process. Absolutely. And just remember that like this is you.
Yeah.
And we don't need other people. I mean, it's nice when people around us like align with our values, but like ultimately you don't need their approval.
Yeah.
And you don't need them to buy in for it to be real for you. And for you to know that it's right for you. And I know that that's not easy, but that's true homecoming is when we are so rooted in our truth that we don't need anybody else to validate it. That we know like this is what is true for us. This is what we value. This is how we want to live our lives. And like that's that.
And I think it's also very important to remember, especially with people in your life, you know, coming to that, it can feel like they are maybe saying these things purposefully or whatever, but like coming to any person with the idea in mind that they don't know that they're hurting you. No, they're not trying to ever hurt you on purpose.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, I'm sure you don't know that this thing that you're doing is hurting me or triggering me or bringing up these feelings in me. A lot of people are going to be like, oh my God, I had no idea. And they're going to try to, you know, like fix that to make things safer for you.
Yeah.
I think that's a very important thing to remember because it can feel like maybe when we are bringing something to somebody, they might feel defensive and, you know, it can cause a lot of feelings, but approaching it from the place of you understanding that this person is not meaning to hurt you and assuring that person that you know that, but that it's hurting you anyway. And so the hurt is still valid is a really important, it's an important piece of having these conversations. And it's helped me a lot, just even like with like a loud fucking neighbor, like a neighbor who was loud at night. And I was like, hey, I'm sure you don't realize that I can hear you having phone calls at 1 a.m. right beneath, you know, in the room below where I sleep. And he's like, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. Like, people aren't always aware of how their actions impact someone else in a negative way.
Yeah.
And it feels big to you, but they're not always going to know. And so...
And too, I think, let's keep in mind that when it's met with backlash, it's likely because, like, that person likely has so much invested into their truth of what health is or what beauty is or what fitness is or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Like, they have so much of their value is invested in obtaining this ideal and looking the part and having this identity that when we challenge that, it can really shake them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they you know, have a backlash against us because it's like, oh, shit, we are challenging everything they've held on to make them valuable in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was me for so long. Like, I fought tooth and nail to have a certain body, to, like, be seen as this fit person, to, like, curate this image. And it's like, oh, my God, if I was told back then that, like, that's not actually healthy and it's, like, not actually what gives us value in this world and that it's all, like, I would be, like, totally, like, what? It would shake my whole world. And so I think we had to realize, like, we hold on to these things so hard because we have invested so much into them.
Mm-hmm.
When we have allowed these things to give us value in this world and we have created our whole identity around diet culture, of course someone's going to have so much resistance and backlash when we try to tell them anything otherwise.
Absolutely.
So, like, compassion there, because, like, it's not their fault, again, that, like, diet culture is so raging.
And it's, I mean, I'm sure, I know I did, and I'm sure most of us had some of that resistance when we first started breaking these things for ourselves.
Absolutely. And it's part of the process.
It's part of the process is breaking this and mourning the loss of the belief system that if you could achieve this body, that you would have everything in life. And so it's important to acknowledge, like, what you are asking somebody to give up when you're inviting them into this new way of thinking. We know that you gain so much more.
Yeah.
From finding your way onto this path, we know that truth, but it can be very hard to see around what you're giving up.
Yeah.
So you have to have grace for that and for the people in your life who are not ready yet. But that doesn't mean that you can't still plant those seeds, and it doesn't mean that you have to relax on the boundaries that you need to set for how you need to be treated in your life as you are doing this work.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So with that, I mean, we could go on for so long and, like, hit all of these. We're going to save these because, again, we're doing more solo eps this year. Yay.
Yay.
They're fun. So
and we just like hanging out.
I know. So if you submitted a question that was not answered today, know that we truly are going to keep it on the docket for our future solo eps.
And if you have a question and you didn't get a chance to ask it on Instagram, you can always email us a question to thebabesmint@gmail.com. And we will file those away and keep them.
Yeah. We do this for you. So obviously we want to give, episodes that really help you.
Yeah. Plus it's super nice for us if, like, you could come up with the topics we talk about.
Thanks for making our job easy, guys. We appreciate it.
We appreciate the assist.
All right, my friends. Sending you all of our love. If you need that emergency bagel, go for it.
If you need an emotional support bagel.
An emotional support bagel.
We highly recommend it. Yeah, and we're always here for you. And thanks. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning into another episode of The Babes Mint.
We hope you're feeling a little more at home in your body and inspired as hell.
If you are ready to change your relationship with your body and yourself, we're here for you.
Snag a goddess session with Steph.
Or check out Jules' free masterclass to free yourself from diet culture for good.
The links are on our website to learn more and sign up.
And of course, if you loved this episode, we'd so appreciate it if you spread the love a little bit.
Share the app.
Rate the show.
Leave a review.
Subscribe.
You know what to do. Until next time.
Thanks. We love you. Bye.